Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Bring a little sunshine indoors with the exciting new arrivals in store or online at harrycurry.com.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until 3 o'clock today. And I was talking to Louise earlier about that Portugal-Slovenia match last night and Ronaldo's public display of emotion. We're getting a lot of calls in on it. A lot of people not that impressed with Ronaldo in general and with last night's performance in particular. There has to be some Ronaldo fans out there. Give us a call if you're one of them, 51551, and we will hopefully get to that a little later in the programme. But for now, I want to go back to a story that we spoke about yesterday. Yesterday, we heard from Louise, told us a really horrific story of an attack by a dog, a restricted breed, a pit bull, on a small puppy. And he had to personally intervene. There was children around. He said it sounded very dramatic. The pit bull actually died in that incident. But Louise was saying that really he didn't feel he had any option but to do what he did. Michael, good afternoon.
Hi.
Michael, you were listening to Louise yesterday and it must have been quite triggering after your own experience last week.
Yeah.
What happened? What kind of a dog do you have, Michael?
I have a cocker poo. Mm-hmm. So last Wednesday, I think I was out for a walk and I was just coming back. I live in a rural location. And I got near my gate and I noticed a lady there with a dog on a lead, one of these extendable leads. To go up that lane, and she moved out of the gate just to the edge of the road as such, and I went up with my dog. So both dogs effectively were on leads. Mine was on a kind of a choke chain sort of lead, not a chain but a cord. Mm-hmm. I got 15 meters up the drive, and next minute this other dog had broken loose and was biting the neck of my dog, a bit like a lion attacking a deer or something like that.
So when you say broken loose, Michael, he was still on the lead, but it had extended, is it?
I think it just snapped off the lead. I'm not 100% sure. It was certainly it was on an extent of a lead, but it just came off the lead.
Okay, so it was totally free and literally sinking its teeth into your cockapoo.
Yeah, just on the neck. And I couldn't get it. I was looking at it. I was shocked, but I was trying to get it off. I mean, in hindsight, it was probably quite foolish of me, but I was trying to get it off and there was no reaction. I was trying to end up having to, down on the ground, having to twist the back legs of the dog so the dog's head was on the ground, still holding on to my dog, and to stand on its head until it let go. In the meantime, it bit me, and I'm not sure how that happened, but it managed to bite me on the hand.
How was your dog during all of this?
My daughter brought the dog to the vet and got it sorted. It had a hole in its neck just beside the jugular vein. Luckily, it missed the jugular vein. He's fine now.
He must have been very distressed, though, during this whole incident.
Yeah. You don't expect that, you know. Unfortunately, the dog had to be put down and the owner basically took the dog straight to the vet and had it put down, which is very sad. I know it's broken that poor woman's heart. And I feel terribly sorry and sad for her. But I beg the question, why would you have a dog like that? You know, and
when you say a dog, when you say a dog like that, Michael, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, it is. It was an XL bully, which is kind of, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but it's like a bulldog designed for fighting. XL bully, I think it's all in the name, you know.
Yeah, extra large. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, did you know it was an XL bully when you...
I didn't have a clue. Yeah. Not at all. Not at all. No, no. But I mean, I should be able to walk along the road and up my driveway, you know, without being attacked. But look, I do really sympathise with the owner. It's terribly unfortunate. And I think her heart is absolutely broken about it.
But you're saying
that... I hate to see any animal put down, but...
But you're questioning why people go for these kind of, you mean like restricted breeds?
Well, it's more the point, you know, there's one thing where you have to be in control of your dog or capable of controlling your dog, and an extendable lead is not going to provide that. The lead's supposed to, well, the lead is recommended to be 2 meters or shorter. And, you know, although the dog had never bit anyone, you know, maybe a muzzle might have been a bit of an idea to prevent it. Like, I mean, she was obviously cautious in the first place because I think she felt I was going to walk by and further on up the road. There must have been a level of concern there in that, you know.
Because an XL bully is obviously on this restricted breed list. I'll just give people an example of the dogs that are on that. So you've got the American Pit Bull Terrier, the English Bull Terrier, the Staffordshire, they're Staffies, Bull Mastiffs, Doberman Pinschers, German Shepherds, Rhodesian Ridgebacks, Rottweilers, Japanese Akitas, Japanese Tosas, and Band Dogs, and crosses of any of those breeds. But the rule is that you have to keep them on a short lead. That's a lead of under 2 metres. You have to be over 16, so you have to be able to control them, and muzzled when in a public place. But where you were was quite a quiet place. Would it have been considered a public place?
Well, I think it's a public road, and either side of the road there is fields with sheep and lambs, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not really the brightest idea. Even with our own dog, who's kind of pretty well, I won't say it's harmless. There's no dog that's harmless, but you know, we still use a lead when we go for walks and type of thing, and that's just the way it has to be, you know.
But like, how are you after all this? You'd obviously you had a bite, so you had to get that seen to.
Yeah, I had to get tetanus and get my, because it was on my knuckle, I had to get my knuckle, the skin there, it was a bit, it wasn't that thick, so they had to just glue it back together. But yeah, I'm fine, you know what I mean. My swelling has gone down after a week.
Are you shook though? I mean, because that is quite a shocking scenario to find yourself in, you know, wrestling with a restricted breed dog.
Yeah, you don't expect it really. You know, I kind of had shot a video earlier on in my walk because it was a beautiful morning, you know. So, of course I'm shocked. But look, it's not the end of the world, you know. There's worse things that happen to people than that. But yeah. I just think, you know, like there's a woman with a child in a pram walking up maybe 50 metres behind me, you know, kind of walking on the roads, you know, kind of.
Yeah, that it could have been a worse scenario is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of nearly 6 foot type of thing, you know, I wouldn't. I think if it was, you know, again, I think if it was some weaker, say it was one of my daughters or something, you know, well, for starters, our dog would be dead anyway. Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah. Michael, will you hang on there? Because I've got Ross on the other line. Ross, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Now, you actually own three dogs that are on that list, restricted breeds list that I read out there.
Yeah, I do indeed.
What are your dogs, do you mind me asking?
A Japanese Akita, a soft bull terrier, and an XL bully.
So you actually have an XL bully as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Michael there saying, I wonder why people would own a dog like this. Why? What's the attraction of these dogs for you, Ross?
Well, why do people own a cockapoo is the same question. It's not the fact of the type of dog. It's the fact of everyone just goes to get an animal. You don't exactly say, I want this, I want that. Some people rescue dogs. Some people just happen to come across the breed. For me, it was just happening to come across the breed. There was no ultimate desire. I didn't see the dog and say, oh, I want this type of dog. It just happened to happen. I happened getting this dog, you know.
And did you get them all at the same time? Or like how did you come upon your three dogs?
No, there's about 2 years in the difference. So I rescued the XL Bully. I rescued the Japanese Akita. And I sought after the Safter Bull Terrier because I've had family and friends who've had Safis, and they've had plenty of good experiences with Safis, which are also on the restricted list. They're under the bull breeds.
Yeah, they're there on the list.
Yeah, a lot of people mix them up for pit bulls, but that's just uneducation. That's no knowledge of the breed. Bad knowledge of breed too.
Now, obviously, there's been a lot of publicity around, particularly XL bullies, because of that, really distressing attack that was very widely reported there in recent weeks. Have you ever had a moment with any of your dogs where you felt you weren't entirely in control of the situation?
No, because I wouldn't get the dog if I didn't feel like I wasn't being able to control them. And for that, the fact of Michael there, you shouldn't blame the dog for that sort of thing. That's the owner's fault. The dogs, one of these breeds should not be on an extendable lead. They shouldn't, that's just it. They shouldn't be on an extendable lead. I wouldn't put a dog over 15 kilo on an extendable lead. Them extendable leads are meant for dogs probably under 15 kilo that don't have any pulling force.
Right.
So first, that's the first bad instance in that. You should have a lead under 2 meters. You should be in full control of your dog.
So, but I suppose the thing is, and you speak to people who have dogs, and particularly these large, powerful dogs.
Yeah.
Everyone feels they are in full control of them. I mean, people, don't generally wander around with dogs that they don't feel they're in control of. But there are a lot of reported incidents where obviously, ultimately, the dog's instinct overrode whatever training was done with them.
Well, that can happen any dog. That can happen absolutely any dog.
But I suppose the point is, a lot of dogs won't do the damage that these dogs will do if they, if they get out of control.
Well, what happened if a German Shepherd got off the lead, or a Belgian Malinois? They're military-grade dogs. We use Belgian Malinois in the military, and no one hears of these.
Well, the German Shepherd is on the restricted breed
it
list.
It is on the restricted breed, but there's a lot less stigma around a German Shepherd rather than an XL Bully.
That's true, I have to say. You see more of them around as well, I think. Did you, when you were, you say you got those two, the Akita and the XL Bully from, were rescue dogs. Was there a lot of those kind of dogs, in the pounds?
Yeah, of course. And it's all because the media. This is why people don't realise the problem it's creating. When you paint the picture of a dog as an evil, killing machine, monster, beast, of course people aren't going to want them. Of course they aren't going to want them. And people don't realise the Dublin Dog Shelter in Dublin is overfilling with dogs. They actually have to put these dogs down, which are perfect family dogs, if they have the sufficient training in under a knowledgeable mind and someone who can control the dog. But people don't realise the backlash this is creating on the pounds. They really don't. If you look on Facebook there and go onto any of these dog shelter pounds, the dog shelters are overfilling. And it's part of the media spewing out stuff.
Well,
of course there's dog attacks. Of course there is dog attacks happening in Ireland. But there's dog attacks of every sort to happen. I walk my Safi on a lead with a muzzle and he's been attacked. So he's standing there vulnerable with a lead and a muzzle on and he's been gouged.
By what kind of a dog?
By a Labrador. By a Golden Retriever.
Okay, that's not one I would associate with aggression.
Of course you wouldn't, because it's not publicised like bull braids. That's the problem.
But is the point, it's not that it's just there's some media conspiracy against bull breeds, but bull breeds are bred for attack, aren't they? They're bred.
They're not bred for attack. No, they're bred for protection, like every other dog. And like Michael said, dog breeds aren't bred for fighting. They're not bred for fighting. Of course, in the past, we're going back in serious history. Of course, certain dogs are bred for bear baiting and everything, but dogs' natural instinct is to protect its owner. That's what a dog does. If someone in your family is being attacked, what's your natural instinct? To protect. It's not to attack and kill randomly. A dog has to be set off by a reaction. That's why people don't understand. They don't understand that. A dog is there to protect.
Would you have any... Sorry, Ross, because I really want to get because you're obviously, you know, very familiar with these breeds. Would you be comfortable leaving small children, play with these dogs?
Around my dogs, yeah, definitely, because they're trained right. 100%. I've cousins there who have multiple sassies in the house and they have a newborn baby, and there's no fear of being left in the house around bull breeds. There's no fear because they're trained right. It's like a human. A human, if it isn't bred right, it's going to turn up to be something that the society doesn't want to see. But if it's trained and it's properly, everything is above board, of course there's going to be no problems.
And
I think it's partly people getting these breeds who, in fairness, it's not the breed's blame, it's the people. We have to start blaming the other side of the lead. You have to turn, at a certain stage, you have to turn around and blame the other side of the lead. And these dogs are getting an awful amount of stigma that they don't deserve. People cross the other side of the road when they see me walking my dogs. You know, for no reason. Literally no reason.
Well, I mean, the reason is that they're scared of big, powerful dogs that have a reputation for being unpredictable.
To a sense, but a human can be unpredictable too. You know, like what I'm trying to put across is if they're properly trained, they're not going to be unpredictable.
And when you talk to trainers and they say, you know, you can do a lot and train a dog, but ultimately, you know, instinct breeding will win out over training. You don't accept that at all?
Sorry, just say that again. Breeding will win out over training?
That particular types of dogs have particular instincts bred into them, and that will always be there no matter how much training you can give a dog.
Well, let's put it this way. Years ago, humans would go out and kill humans. That's bred out of us. Back from war stages and everything, back hundreds of years ago, humans were violent. Just because a dog's original breeding was for a certain purpose doesn't mean it can't be trained out of it. That original purpose could have been trained into that particular breed 150 years ago, 200 years ago. Do you think that dog... the same dog that could possibly be in that family tree 200 years later is going to think, oh, I'm bred to kill? Of course not.
Ross, will you hang on? Because I actually have somebody who will have a valid position on this. Rob Walsh, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, Rob, you're known as the Irish dog father.
I am indeed, yeah.
And you train dogs.
I do, yeah.
So what Ross is saying there, is he right in that these dogs are unfairly characterised as dangerous?
He is and he isn't, because in Ireland it's a bit of a double-edged sword, because unfortunately we have no regulation or legislation on dog breeding. So I would say that half of the XL bullies in Ireland are perfectly happy and safe, and then the other half would maybe have what I would call defective genetics, and they would have maybe been bred from dogs that shouldn't have been bred from. So what we really need to do in Ireland is have a conversation with somebody in government who can legislate effectively and put safe practices for dog breeding, so that we are ensuring that the safest dogs are the ones that are in Ireland.
So when you say,
at the moment,
sorry, Rob, when you
at
say,
the moment,
When you say bred from dogs that shouldn't have been allowed to breed, what kind of dog? What are you talking about there?
Well, these are backyard breeders who don't really care about the, you know, the end result. And, you know, these are dogs that might have actual mental, like, if to put it in our perspective, learning disabilities. And particularly with XL Bulldogs, I would fear about the Bulldog side, because, as you know, Bulldogs are a very inbred breed. And they have all sorts of neurological problems. It's the most kind of scary one for me would be what's called a low arousal threshold. And this is when a dog gets too excited and he kind of can't control himself. And it's something that we see in shelters when we're dealing with bulldog crosses. And these could be completely, you know, avoided if vets and safe breeding practices were involved. But they're not. And this is what we need to change in Ireland.
But when Ross says that he thinks that just these dogs that are on the restricted breed list, the people are, you know, across the street when they see him walking with these perfectly, fine dogs. I mean, there is obviously, this is not just an Irish idea to get this restricted breed list. This is an internationally accepted.
Yes, and to be perfectly honest with you, it's anti-scientific and it's wrong fundamentally. Like, what should be done is, you know, dog safety lists should be based on science and what's called dog bite statistics. And, for example, the Staffy is one of the last dogs on the bite statistics, but for some reason it's on the list because of sensational media. And, you know, we love a bit of that in Ireland ourselves. And, you know, a lot of the dogs, and I'm a professional dog trainer of nearly 16 years, a lot of the dogs on the list have no right being on the list. They shouldn't be. And people really need to educate themselves. And if you talk to people, and particularly nurses who work in A&E, they'll tell you that it's the Collies and the Labradors and the Golden Retriever bites that come in every day. It's not. What happens is, one, you might get one, you know, pit bull attack in 10 years, but, you know, the media jump on it and everybody finds out about it. You don't hear about the Golden Retriever who mauled a toddler. You just don't hear about it.
Well, to be honest, I think if a toddler was mauled by any dog, you would actually hear about it.
I'm telling you,
I'd
now,
be very surprised if that wasn't reported.
As someone who's worked in the industry for as long as I have, I'm telling you that is the case. It's the media. The media jump on certain breeds because it sells.
So, should any dog?
It's very easy to portray a Rottweiler as a demon dog because they're big and powerful.
But can I ask you?
They might be one of the safest and happiest dogs you'll ever meet. Yeah, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, can I just ask you? What is there any dogs that should be on a restrict? Like, obviously, the whole point of the list is that owners have to behave in a particular way with those dogs. As in, they have to have the short lead. They have to be muzzled in public. They have to have somebody over the age of 16. Are any of those dogs, in your view, that should be treated in that way? That should have that legal.
I think there's breeds that we need to update our what we refer to as dangerous breeds, because one that puts a negative connotation on the dog before it's even born. So I feel like we need to maybe reassess our whole view of it. And also, you know, there's certain breeds like a Belgian Malinois and a few kind of like serious police dogs that I feel like, you know, if you own a breed like this, yes, it may be on some sort of a list, but if you can show and prove that you've got, like, a driving license, that you've got a certificate of completion with training from somebody like me or a behaviourist or another trainer to prove that, yes, he's safe. Because, I mean, you can have emotional support dogs who go into hospitals that are on the list. And, you know, it's what we really need to do is modernise our legislation across the board. And that's in regards, like, training isn't a regulated market in Ireland. That's another problem in itself. So we need regulation across the board with dogs.
Would you put XL Bullies on a restricted breed list?
Well, if I had my way, we wouldn't have a list. We'd have effective breeding controls. And that's what we don't have. We need vets and we need breeders to really cop on. And you know, a vet, I'm not saying about them, but like they should have more of a say and they should be able to say, look, this is a defective breed. It's got this gene. We can't breed from it. And, you know, a bit of common sense across the board. Because, I mean, all these dogs are created by us. Like, so, you know, we should create systems in place so that we only have the best dogs available in Ireland.
Yeah, let me just hang on there, Rob. I'll just put that. Ross, you obviously you don't know where your Japanese Akita or your XL Bully, that you don't know the background of those dogs, or do you? They were the dogs that were rescue dogs for you.
They were rescue dogs, but I'll give you this one. I know exactly where my Shafter Bull Terrier has come from. I've seen his father. I've seen his grandfather. I've seen the mother. I've seen grandmother of both. So I know exactly where my Shafter Bull Terrier came from. He's fully papered through the Irish Kennel Club. So I know exactly where the Shafter Bull Terrier came from, which is also considered a bull breed.
Yeah. Oh, and the other two, you don't have any information about their backgrounds, do you?
No, I don't. But I'm going off the characteristics that they've shown me so far.
Right. I must say, Staffies, I'm surprised to see that in the same, you know, in the same list as some of those other, you know.
But this is the thing that people don't understand. I walk my dog down the road and they say, oh, that's a gorgeous pit bull. And I say, sorry, no, it's actually a Staffordshire Bull Terrier. People don't understand the difference. People see a dog with little short rose prick ears and they say, God, that's a pit bull. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Learn the dog you're talking to, or learn the dog you're talking about before you characterise that and say it's such a terrible dog.
Okay. Ross, hang on, will you? I want to bring in Helena. Helena, good afternoon.
Hi, yeah, how are you? I just have a story that it kind of happened to me a few months ago. I was out walking. I was on a hike with a group of scouts and I was walking my dog, a cockapoo. His name is Sully. And this pit bull terrier came out of a field. It was with its owner in a field, and it came out of the field onto the main road where we were walking.
It was off the lead, was it?
Yeah, completely off the lead. No muzzle, no nothing.
Okay.
And it came up to my dog. It started to approach my dog, and I just thought it was going to be friendly and say hi, whatever. And then it started to get very, very aggressive with my dog, to the point that it was like in the mode of kill. And it was attacking. Then I got a big fright and I actually ended up lifting my dog up into my arms and had to like put it almost above my head, my dog. And he's not the lightest dog, my cockapoo, but so I had to lift him up and put him, yeah, up to my chest. And then the pit bull started jumping onto me and ripped my coat slightly. And I was then getting very scared, and a few of the other...
Were you saying you were with a group of Girl Scouts?
Yeah, I was. And my sister was actually there as well, and she usually would take the lead of my dog and walk it a bit. And if she was walking my dog at the time, my dog definitely would have died, and she would have been seriously attacked as well. So I was just lucky. And eventually the owner came out of the field to take its pit bull back. And it actually started to attack the owner slightly a bit as well. But we just kind of ran on. We were a bit petrified.
Sorry, why did you say if your sister had the dog that the dog wouldn't have survived?
Because my sister wouldn't have lifted our dog up. She wouldn't have been able to. And she probably would have panicked in that situation, maybe let go of the lead or something like that. But I just think I just kind of thought very quickly just to lift my dog up, but even the vet said we had to bring my dog to the vet straight away after. I had to cut the hike short, and the vet said, yeah, your dog wouldn't have survived if you didn't lift it up.
So the dog actually was wounded?
Yeah, as I had my dog in my arms, the pit bull, while it was jumping up onto me, it did get a little bit of bite of my dog just in the leg, and He had like a bit of an open wound, so we had to bring him to the vet straight away. And
God, that's very
got medication and stuff.
Yeah, Helena, very frightening to have a dog in your arms and another dog going for it.
Oh my God, petrifying! I've never been like in an experience like that, and I'd never really be scared of dogs, but now when I see dogs like that, I'll definitely think twice. And my dog now would even recognise those sort of dogs and would be a bit nervous. But, you know, it was petrifying. And the girls that we were with, all the younger girls, they were definitely a bit scared afterwards.
Yeah, you see, when you hear that, I mean, you were listening to Ross there, you know, who has three restricted breed dogs, and one of them is a Staffordshire, not a pit bull, a Staffordshire, but he's saying his dog often gets mistaken for a pit bull terrier. You know, he's saying that it's not the dog, that the dog can be trained to be as, you know, that he's no problem, would have no problem leaving his dogs around small children.
Oh, no, I think, like, they have a mind of their own. Like, I remember hearing before, like, Labradors and Cockatoos, they've been family pets for a lot longer than these other restricted breed dogs. And at the end of the day, that's what they're bred to do. If they get into the mode of kill, that's that. That dog wasn't stopping when it was coming near my dog. It was going to keep going till there was, blood.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I think, there's just going to be more deaths if something isn't done. At the end of the day, I think a human's life is more important than a dog.
That's a terrifying experience, Helena. Will you hang on there? And please hang on, Ross and Rob and Michael. I need to take a break, but I'll be back with more after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we're talking about restricted breed dogs. And just to say earlier there, Rob, you just mentioned when we were talking about the behaviour of dogs and how they were bred and not being bred in a proper way, you did use the phrase learning disability, which I just want to say that that's really not appropriate in terms of making that. I just want to say that that's not...
Well, just
to leave that one there. But I just want to ask you about Helena and what she was saying there in relation to her experience with that pit bull. Are you saying that that's just a problem with that dog's breeding? That's what you're talking about there? Or could that dog be trained not to behave like that?
Yeah, any dog can be trained, but the problem is it's a longer, tougher road when there's bad genetics involved. And to be perfectly honest, you can phrase it however you want, but there is massive genetic defects in bulldogs, and that's what's introduced into XL bullies. But that's my point. So you can call it whatever you want to call it, but there is defects within the DNA.
Okay, and again, I just want to be very clear. We're not drawing any comparison between dogs and human beings at this stage when you're talking about using language about defects and DNA and all of that. You're saying that these dogs... But is it not the case that dogs, particular breeds, going back generations of that breed, have certain instincts that are very strong and they're bred for those instincts to be exaggerated?
You're talking as if you know pit bulls are still fighting, and you know it's not the case. Like historically, yes, there must be, you know, some sort of genes, but any good breeder over the last 50 to 100 years has bred away from those original traits. So this is why I keep talking about we need effective breeding practices, because if you're left in bad hands, you're going to get bad dogs. And that's kind of where we're steering towards in Ireland. We need effective breeding practices. And as well, I just want to say, if anybody has, you know, a difficult dog out there, please, you know, contact a professional like myself. You know, my handle is the Irish Dog Father on Instagram. And if I can't get down to you, I'll happily send a colleague your way. And like, people really need to train their dogs before things start getting out of control. And you know, we just need to be sensible across the board.
Okay, Rob, thanks for that. Maureen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Yeah, what you're listening to our conversation there,
Rob,
about these restricted breeds.
I'm really, really fed up with people coming on the radio or writing in the papers and saying people shouldn't be afraid of dogs. Dog owners have a right to do X, Y, and Z. The reality is people, for whatever reason, are afraid of dogs. Some people. And whereas people have a right to own a dog, the people who don't have dogs have a right to feel safe. And I want to feel safe. And I've had a number of experiences over the year that have made me feel not safe.
Have you been bitten, Maureen?
I was nipped in the ankle once by a Jack Russell while I was trying to lift my baby out of the back of the car. Okay, so that was difficult. On another occasion, I was trying to lift the same child out of the car in my own garden, and I saw two Rottweilers trotting down the middle of the road, unaccompanied, not on leads, and I was concerned that I wasn't going to get into the house fast enough. I have been out walking and have been faced with an Alsatian trotting down the road on the footpath towards me, not knowing what was going to happen. I had nowhere to go, and unaccompanied again. I was in a cemetery, and while I was trying to attend a grave, a small dog, I don't know what kind of a dog it was, whose owner was also in the graveyard, but who didn't have it on a lead, the dog was snapping at me. Now, I don't know, was he going to bite? But, you know, I didn't want to wait to see, and I eventually had to leave, and I told the owner that I was leaving because she wouldn't control her dog, and she said she should have said something. I shouldn't have had to.
Yeah, this is the great divide. I mean, you don't have a dog yourself, Maureen.
I don't have a dog. Now, we did have a dog when I was younger, not as a child, but as an adult in my own family home, and I was fine with him. And I have friends who have dogs, and I have a brother and a family who have dogs. And if I know the dog, I'm fine. If I know the dog and I know the owner, I'm fine. But because not all owners are responsible, I can't automatically trust somebody. And there are too many dogs off leads who shouldn't be off leads. Everybody's supposed to have their dog on a lead, but they just ignore it.
Yeah, I think there, and also that's, and as I say, it's not just yourself, but I also have seen people with smaller children get very scared when, you know,
yeah.
Particularly larger dogs come bounding towards them. And and as you say, some people say, well, sure, it's the family dog. He wouldn't touch a fly. He wouldn't hurt a fly. But you don't know that if the dog is coming at you.
No, you don't.
Maureen, thanks for that. Hang on, I want to bring in Susan.
Hiya, okay. How are you?
Hiya, Susan. You have three XLs.
I have three XL bullies, I do. And I have them since pups. My eldest two dogs are nearly four, and I have a pup that's nearly one. And I have three autistic children, and I had a cockapoo. I had to rehome the cockapoo for biting a child. If anybody was to come in around my dogs would probably lick them to death. I think they're being so misrepresented. They need proper training. They need, like, they have to be, like, I had mine going to puppy school. They need that. They need proper exercise. They need proper feeding. But they're being blamed and targeted for everything because people can't identify. And some people are getting them to make money off them. And they're using them for the wrong reason, but they're being so misrepresented. And it's very unfair to the bully community because, like, the vast majority of us, we do our best to make sure our dogs are fine. So they're just, I just think it's, you know, I've went to plenty of vets. I have one girl that's always in trouble. She's, the vet will even tell you that she would be more afraid of a chihuahua going into her surgery than what she would of an XL bully.
What was it about XL bullies that drew you to them? Like, you obviously really like the breed.
Well, no, what happened was a friend of mine ended up rehoming a mother, and she rehomed the mother not realising that the mother was pregnant. And lo and behold, the mother had 14 pups. So obviously, we took on two of the pups for her. We went through the ISPCA. We'd done all that and we took the pups. The pups were, I think, 10 weeks when we got them. So I started doing my homework on them and everything, and heard horror stories, and I was like, oh God. But I said, no, I can't get that. Like, you know, it could be any dog. So I went training, and I got a really good trainer, and he said to me, you know, you have to, they have so much. He said they need to, you know, have great, like a proper feed. They need to have proper training. He said, you know, you have to just do everything proper. They are so, like, you can't just leave them lying around the garden or bring them on the lead for a walk. They need a good run. So they do. And you need to show them that, like, not that they're with mine. You know, if I say to mine, no, no is no, and they'll understand that. So they will.
But Susan, where do you?
I have a friend.
Can I just ask you where do you take them to run then?
I mean, I'm probably lucky enough that my husband has a farm, so I can take them to the farm. But even down to the animals on the farm, the dogs still wouldn't touch them, so they wouldn't. My dogs would run away from a smaller dog than what they would. Now I have them muzzle trained and everything because I knew that this was going to happen. This is. Like, and even down to the Alsatian, Rottweilers and everything, it just seems like people need to understand that sometimes bullies as well with cropped ears, that's not always done for show. That's done sometimes because the dog does tend to get ear infections. Now, 90% of people, I don't have my dogs cropped. 90% of people do have them done for that evil look, but there's a lot more of us out there that don't.
Will you hang on? When you hear Maureen talking about how she feels about dogs when she's out and about.
I can understand that. Like, look, listen, I just think the way it's been done, I think the bullies are being blamed for a lot. And you don't go hearing the stories about the Labradors or, you know, a girl up the road from me, she got bitten so badly that she had to have surgery over a sheepdog. Nobody comes out with those stories, but the minute it's to do with it could be like and a staff or anything like that, oh, it's all the bullies, it's all the staff, it's all this, it's all Rottweilers. It could be any dog.
Okay, well, look, we have another dog, actually, as you say that. Diana.
Hi, Katie. Hi.
Yeah, well, Susan there is saying you never hear about other dogs attacking. Well, you have a story.
I do have a story. I grew up with Labradors, and the Labradors we had were fine. There was no issue with them whatsoever. And we had our first Jack Russell bitch. This was going back over 25 years ago. We were living in a housing estate at the time, and there was an open field a few doors up from us. So I would take the Jack down there and just let her off lead and let her do whatever she wanted to do. And at one stage, she obviously got on the hunt with something and she was a bit delayed. So I was coming back. She was following a bit behind me. And the next thing, a Labrador came out and hunted her. And I couldn't believe this. I said, what on earth? Anyway, there was no real damage done. The Jack was quite, she was quite stressed after it. And I found out who the owner of the lab was. And I went up to him and I just asked him. He lived in the same estate. And I said that your dog just hunted and has
when you say hunted, Diana, like how just
this dog, the ears were up and the eyes were staring, and she was on the hunt on after my Jack Russell bitch, and I said it to your man anyway, and he said, oh, my dog is very good, she doesn't attack other dogs. I said, look, I'm really sorry, but your dog has just attacked mine. Now, my dog managed to get away, as I say, without any serious injury. And she ducked around a house or something, and the lab couldn't quite fit. So.
Right. But, that's the advantage of being a Jack Russell.
Exactly. And when I just mentioned it to him, I said, look, if I'm going over to the field again, if I let you know, could you keep your dog in? Oh, my dog, there's nothing wrong with my dog, etc., etc. So about a week or so later, I was out in the field again. And this time he was there with his lab. And he saw the lab circling and hunting my Jack. And he managed to get the lab under control. I got my Jack Russell bitch back as well. And he apologized profusely. He said, I didn't believe it. He said, but now that I've seen it, he said, let me know when you're out there and I'll make sure the lab is locked up. And, you know, it's just that you don't know. It's not necessarily about the breed. It can be about the dog. And I've got quite a few stories, but I won't go into them all. But another bitch pup that we had at one stage, she was one of our breeding. And we had her for about 4 months. And within 3 months, she was fully house trained, but she was psychotic. She was definitely a nut job. You take her out on the lead. If a dog was in the 20 feet away, she'd bark as if the dog was kind of, get out of this, my territory, get away. The moment the dog came within 10 feet of her, she'd run screaming as if she's being attacked. And all I can think of was, thank God she got run over by my father.
Oh, my God.
That's a terrible thing to
say.
That
is a terrible thing to say, Diana.
I know it is, but to be honest, that dog was just... her head was not screwed on right, and I think we'd have had to put her down after a few months if she, you know, the way she was going.
Okay.
I hope
the dog didn't suffer, Diana. That's nobody would want to see an animal suffer like that.
No, no.
Did you ever have any trouble with the Jack Russell? Because the
well, we didn't have any real. We had our original Jack Russell, her daughter, and the original and the daughter's daughter, if you know what I mean, over a period of years. And one of the times with our first Jack again, we're walking down in a park near where we live, and just across the ditch, there was a kind of a hedgerow ditch, there was an open area, an open field area, and there was a couple of guys in there training about four or five German shepherds. And my bitch, she caught a glimpse of them through the trees, and the moment she barked at them, they had given the dogs the signal for down. So the dogs all lay down. So you could see the look on my Jack saying, right, now that I've beaten them up. So she was never aggressive, but she was kind of like, you know, this is my territory, you know, I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, well, they do. Yeah, Jack Russells have a lot of attitude for sure. Diana, thanks for that. I want to, Maureen, you're still with us, are you?
Yes, I am.
Like, when you listen to Susan there talking about her XL bullies and, you know, those stories from Diana there.
I have no difficulty people liking dogs and owning dogs and looking after their dogs and thinking their dogs are great. I've no problem with that. I just ask, would people please stop saying other people have no reason to be afraid, and will everybody just keep their dog on a lead when they're out, or keep them locked in so that they can't get out unaccompanied? That's the bottom line for me. I don't object to people having dogs, and I won't ever object to people having dogs. It's when they're not being looked after and they're not being kept under control, and the presumption that everybody should accept that. Walk, go for a walk in the park and the dogs are running free. Not acceptable.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Maureen. I want to bring in Michael now. Michael, good afternoon.
Hello, Jerry.
You're the chairman of the Irish Boarding Kennels and Cattery Association.
I am indeed, yeah.
So what do you make of what we're being told today? I mean, we're getting very different views on these restricted breeds in particular.
I'm dealing with dogs for over 40 years of all descriptions, and I don't have any particular problems with certain breeds. A lot of the comments that have been made there about these bully breeds is fine, but dogs are like people. They have different personalities and they have different traits. The bully breeds, unfortunately, have a very, very dangerous knack where when they attack, they bite and they don't let go. And that makes them extremely, extremely dangerous.
Is that part of the breed? That's just a skill they have, basically.
Yeah, they lock their jaw.
Do pit bulls not do that as well? I always understood
that.
Pit
bulls do that. Staffordshire Terriers will do the same. It's part of their trait, and it's not very safe. And I just personally, they're great family pets with people who own them. They're great in those situations, but we can't take them into a kennel environment or a public environment. They're dangerous. And that's just my view on it. I don't think we need to have those types of animals at all. I don't understand why, because they were bred originally as bullfighters. You have bull rings all around the country, and they were trained to kill bulls. So that's a pit bull. That's where the name comes from, and it's within their breeding. A responsible owner has one, and is responsible in public, but you're dependent on those people to be responsible, and we can't guarantee that.
And Michael, are you saying, like, so your members would have boarding kennels around the country?
Yes.
And you're saying that XL bullies are not welcome in those kennels?
In most of them, no, they're not.
And what about the other bull breeds?
Staffordshire's pit bulls are generally not welcome in most kennels. Reason being is, if you, Katie, for example, had your whatever breed of dog you have or don't have in, and there's a dog there that has the ability to grab them, say, by the leg or by the throat or by the tail or whatever, and not let go, I cannot be responsible or be a responsible kennel owner that has that breed in that may meet yours.
Right. So it's your responsibility to the other dogs you have in the kennel.
We have a huge duty of care when we're looking at your dogs, and
you can't trust them with those breeds.
I can't trust them. And having said that, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm saying they're great for their families, and they can make lovely pets. But in public or in the presence of other dogs, they're just a dangerous animal, and I don't think they should be. I don't understand even why people want to have them.
All right. OK, will you hang on, Michael? I have to take, I'm behind on my breaks. I have to take a break, but please hang on. We'll do more after these.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
That was Michael there before the break, saying he's wondering why people want those dogs, that he says he's not, he wouldn't be comfortable having them in his kennels. Vincent, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Now, you are a dog warden.
Yes, I work for the dog warden service for Cork City Council.
Okay, so then, what's your view of these dogs?
Okay, basically, the likes of these dogs, there's an awful lot, and it's great that this topic is being discussed, because it's multifaceted, all right? The XL Bully, we'll say, that just going with the XL Bully now at the moment, the XL Bully is only in existence about 30 years. 5-6 years ago, we weren't even talking about XL Bullies in Ireland, because they're only here maybe in and around 10 years. And the whole system of their dog ownership, their training, and so on needs to be addressed. Now, these dogs, the biggest problem with these dogs, we have an XL Bully in the kennels at the moment. We've had them in and around 10, 11 stone in weight. Oh. So these are a big animal. And everybody can walk a dog when it's nice and calm, it's on the lead, and everything is hunky-dory. But if that dog decides to react, or if another dog attacks it, can the handler control that dog when it's in a rage?
Well, could anyone control an 11 stone dog, I'm thinking now?
Very few. We're in a different situation because we've a range of equipment that we can use, right? With the average Joe Bloggs taking their dog out for a walk, it is a very, very big animal. Very, very big animal. They should be muzzled. They should be on lead, as people have said. Yes, there needs to be care in dogs breeding, but you have to look at the purpose of this dog. Some people prefer a bigger dog. Some people prefer smaller dogs. But these dogs, as some other callers have said, they're designed, when they bite, they don't release. Some dogs bite and release. These guys bite and hold. And that's what the problem is. And it's the bite pressure per square inch that can do the damage.
Yeah. When you hear Susan there, I mean, obviously she's three of these dogs, loves them, says they're, you know, has never had any issue at all. She, you know, describes them like you would describe the most, you know, adorable family pet.
Yes. And that can be generally the case. I mean, any dog can bite you, but we'll say if a Jack Russell or a Labrador, even though people, as again other callers have said, there's a lot more people bitten by Labradors than there is by XL Bullies. But if an XL Bully decides it's going to do a lot of damage, or any of the bull breeds decide to do a lot of damage, then they have the potential to do it.
Yeah, that's the difference, isn't it?
That's the biggest problem. I mean, the people who are taking on these dogs, yes, some of them, I mean, ear cropping is illegal in Ireland. It does, some people do it to make the dogs look more fierce. why should we post them. No vet is doing it. That procedure is done either in Eastern Europe, which they say there's a lot of dogs coming in from Eastern Europe, they're not. The dogs are being cropped on their kitchen table at home. To a style. You can get them cut to a different style. And it opens the dog's ears up for more infection. The dogs have an ear for a purpose.
Susan was saying some of that cropping is actually done to prevent infection.
Rain and dust and stuff like that can go into the ear. The ear flops over for a reason. It keeps the inner ear clean.
Right.
So, and it keeps dust and debris and sunlight out of the inner ear. Cropping them like that. The ears were cropped on dogs for fighting so that there was less, basically, stuff hanging off the dog for another dog to hang on to.
That's get traction on, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that's a terrible image you're after opening up in our brains there, Vincent. But thank you for that. As somebody who has to deal with these situations and understands how dogs can be. That's Vincent. I want to bring in Liam now. Liam, you had a very bad experience yourself lately.
Yeah, well, actually, Katie, a lot of your listeners were talking about dogs attacking dogs, but my daughter and my grandchild was out for a walk one evening, and she's only six, and a German Shepherd jumped a property and basically attacked the little girl, my grandchild, and my daughter had to throw herself on top of her to save her from being mauled. And you're talking about when your listeners said that holding her dog over her head. What my daughter, she had to lift the little girl over her head, and my daughter was actually out for a run that morning, and she had a support bra on where it's well padded, and the Alsatian was up right up to her shoulders and dug her teeth back into her, and when she felt the teeth going into her padded bra, she let go of her daughter and told her to run to a derelict house just beside us. Beside her, and the little girl ran and jumped across the wall. And with that, the owners tried to get the dog off, and got the dog off. And my daughter and her grandchild have been very very traumatised since. And what could have happened was the big thing. Like, if the dog had got the child, got the only from my daughter had been able to save her, it could have ended up a lot worse. But and then the following week, all these attacks on the different dogs. While I agree that owners, a lot of it's the fault of the owners not keeping them under control and training them as well. But that's just a real life story that happened, which could have been. We hear about the attacks, but we don't hear about the near misses.
That sounds absolutely terrifying, Liam. Absolutely terrifying. Your daughter, fair play to her. I mean, she obviously stepped in and stopped something really terrible happening there. But it sounds like she was very, very lucky herself to get away without a serious injury.
Yeah, she had injuries. She had puncture wounds in her back, but she recovered. And she reported that the dog warden was involved and the Gardaí were involved. And as far as we know, the dog was a young dog, and actually the people that owned the dog had five dogs, had five German Shepherds in their property, five German Shepherds. So one of them escaped. They jumped clear the wall, high wall. So as far as we know, the dog was being retrained or rehomed. I'm a dog lover myself. I wouldn't like to see a dog being put down because of the owner's lack of training on the dog, or like a love for the dog, whatever you want to call it. But as some of your Robin Ross said, sometimes it's not the dog's fault, it's the owner's fault, and properly trained. Like, I wouldn't see a dog be put down, but if he has that vicious tendencies, and if he's not retrained, he could do it again, and next time that child might be so lucky. And the fact that the child screamed, they were talking about a dog will react to a cry. Even though I had a quiet dog, even the dog is trained, and a little child cries because of maybe falling or hurt, that excites the dog. Once the dog gets excited, and the more my dog, granddaughter, cried and was roaring, the more agitated the dog got, the more he became vicious, the more he was looking for blood. So that's, even the quietest dog will react to the cry, same with the sheepdog, the quiet dog, once they get a run and the sheep are stressed and roar, that excites them, the smell of blood.
Yeah, Liam, delighted to hear your daughter and your granddaughter are safe, but that is something that they will obviously remember for a very long time. I'm going to have to take another break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Can I bring in Vivian now? Vivian, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. Some of the stories sound absolutely horrible, the last one in particular, and I'm sorry that anybody has gone through that, but I just wanted to say that I own a cockapoo and I have owned an English Bull Terrier. Hello?
Yes, we're hearing you, Vivian.
Yeah, I had the two dogs together. Now, the English Bull Terrier has passed on, but I really feel that, you know, you can't tar all breeds with the one brush, because I've no axe to grind with any particular breed, but the English Bull Terrier was an absolute sweetheart of a dog, and the cockapoo that I'm currently out walking is a dog that often gets me, you know, that I into a situation where I'm apologising to people because he can be aggressive, even though I keep him on the leash all the time.
Right, so that's your personal experience with two breeds that, yeah. And we often think of cockapoos as having, you know, fluffy, very placid personalities.
Yes, yeah, and the English Bull Terrier, he was a beautiful dog, he was a very kind dog, and not a bit of aggression in him whatsoever. So I just wanted to make the point, as somebody who's experienced and have had both as family pets, that, you know, my English Bull Terrier was beautiful, and not all breeds are the same, and it comes down to training and education and the individual personality of the dog, of course.
And did you put a lot of training into your Bull Terrier to
He was actually a rescue, Katie, yeah. And he had been trained. I got him when he was about a year and a half, and he had some training, and I kept that up. But he was just a beautiful dog. Never, ever any problems with him. Not to say that, you know, there are some of these dogs that are on this list, and rightly so. But, you know, I just think some dogs, because of the way they look, you know, they're just automatically judged.
Yeah.
They're automatically judged because I'm walking the cockapoo now, and well, he's a beautiful dog also. He can be a bit difficult at times with other dogs.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Vivian.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's somebody speaking up for their sweetheart English Bull Terrier. Can I bring in Gerard now? Gerard, I believe you lost your dog some time ago, and it was you're still thinking about that dog.
Absolutely, Katie. Thank you for having me on air. Yeah, actually, yesterday happened to be Ali's 13th anniversary. And Ali was a boxer. And unfortunately, I had to have her put to sleep because the cancer was terminal. And it just broke my heart, like all dog lovers.
Yeah.
But this show isn't about Ali. It's about restricted breeds. And like most of the dog behaviours there said, and the first caller, unfortunately, it's down to the owners. And the first caller, if I remember right, is the responsible owner.
Yeah.
And but like someone, I think the previous caller just said there, you can't cast them all with the same brush, which is unfortunate. I mean, as I said in my email to your research team there, New York police have just had their first pit bull as a service dog, and there's a lovely picture up on Facebook, the dog looking very proud, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
but you know, when you hear, and I hear that, and I know people, you know, we were just talking to Vivian there about her lovely bulldog. You talk to you know, you hear from the dog warden, from the kennel owner. You know, they say the thing about these dogs is that they have this, you know, this ability to lock on. These particular breeds have an ability to lock. When they bite, it's different to being bitten by other dogs. That they have that this is their instinct, and this is what happens when they bite, and that's the problem.
Absolutely, and I agree totally with that. Obviously, these XL bullies, which are vilified now as were the pit bulls, but a responsible owner, if they're taking these dogs out in public, will have them muzzled and on a very short lead. And obviously, I mean, I'll give you one quick example, Katie. My beloved Ellie was 25 kilos, which is very light, but I'd always walk her on the lead because she was, you know, the boxer are known as the class clown of the canine community. They never grow up in their own head. They're like just a bunch of frogs on steroids. But having said that, I always walked Ellie on a short lead because I found out very quickly. Now, Ellie was 25 kilos. I still weigh about 12 stone. But if Ellie got a head start on me, I would have a problem pulling her back, you know, especially if we're going downhill. So a dog can accelerate very quickly, but that's down to responsible ownership yet again. And if people are walking these XL bullies, now, as I said in my email also, you're probably not aware, no dog is born vicious. It's the training, the responsibility of the owners to put in the time, put in the training. But having said that, these people must understand they have 11 stone a dog at the end of a lead and they should be muzzled at all times when outdoors. Yeah. So it comes back. And unfortunately, everyone loves their dogs, whether they're XL bullies or chihuahuas or whatever. The fault lies with the owners in most respects, and the dogs shouldn't have to pay for that, but unfortunately they do.
And do you have a dog now? I know it's 13 years, is it, since you had to say goodbye to Ali?
It is, yeah. No, Katie, I don't, because I had to leave my previous address because I was constantly meeting people. I was living in a kind of a rural setting, and every day after Ali passed, I met people, where's Ali today? And we just ended up in tears for everyone concerned. So I actually had to move to an apartment complex on the other side of Limerick City. And that's where I am right now. And apartment complexes obviously don't let you have dogs. But, you know, it's a sad fact of life. But I miss my dog, like most people do. But the point about it being, Katie, again, to come back to today's topic, it's down to the owners.
Yeah.
You know, invest the time in training. No dog was born vicious. Yes, you can have defective DNA, as one of your callers said there. But, you know, where do you go from there?
Where do you go from there, indeed? Jared, thank you for that. And I'm really sorry to hear you're obviously still all these years on, still so badly missing that dog that you loved.
Well, I had Ali's. I was actually talking to you about, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, excuse me, about this, the topic of pet cremation. And I had Ali cremated. And as I said to you then, and I'll say it to you now again, I have my beloved Ali's ashes. And I take them to bed with me every night.
I remember you, Jared. Yes.
Yeah. It's a comfort to have some reminder, you know, and she'll never leave my heart. But to come back to the XL bullies,
it's the owners.
It's the owners. And unfortunately, when an XL bully attacks, or a pit bull, or anyone, that owner will then be heartbroken. But it's their responsibility to look after their own dogs and not endanger the public or other dogs out there. So, you know, that's about it, really.
Thanks for that, Jared. I'm going to bring back in the person who opened up this conversation at the top of this show, Michael. And if you were listening to Michael at the start, you had a very traumatic run-in with a dog, an XL bully, last week. Having heard everyone's take on this now, where do you stand on these breeds now, these restricted breeds? Because the last thing you were saying to me, why would anyone want to own one of these dogs?
Yeah, well, I think there's a danger of getting hung up on breeds. For everybody, their dog is their pet. And like I was told, this never happened before with this dog. The st- understanding is that the owner is responsible and not the dog. And that's the way it stands legally. So my view is that the law just should be implemented. If they're required to wear muzzles or whatever, they should do that, you know, and the guard should be quick to follow up or whatever on reports of issues. I think if that's the case, then it's going to get very expensive for people to have these dogs, and that's how we control it.
Okay. Okay, Michael, thank you for that. I'll take my last ad break now.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And that's it for today. On sound today was Chris O'Connor. Research was by Adam Hogan. Our broadcast coordinator was Andrew McDermott. And today's programme was produced by Owen McLaughlin. That's it for today. Stand by now for Ray.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Summer's here. Spruce up your bedroom for less with our sizzling summer sale offers at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.